Welcome to this ComputerWeekly.com podcast on big data storage. I'm Anthony Adshead, storage editor for ComputerWeekly.com. In this podcast, I'll be talking about the requirements big data places on storage and the type of storage systems that can meet its need for all sizes of organisation. I'll split the talk into two sections. First, we'll look at what is big data. The simplest explanation of the big data phenomenon is that, on the one hand, it's all about large amounts of data, while on the other hand, it's almost always, nowadays, about running analytics on those large data sets. On the face of it, neither the volume of the data nor the analytics elements are really that new. For many years, enterprise organisations have accumulated growing stores of data, and some have also run analytics on that data to gain value from those large information sets. Notable here are, for example, the oil and gas industry that has for decades run very large data sets through high-performance computing systems to model underground reserves and seismic data. There have also been analytics, for example, in data warehousing, where businesses would interrogate large data sets for business value. But both of these examples can highlight what we mean by big data in the contemporary sense by what they lack. HPC computing and data warehousing, while they deal with very large data sets and entail analytics, are comprised overwhelmingly of data that's structured and see operations running on a batch basis, overnight often for data warehousing, and over several days or even weeks in HPC research computing. By contrast, what we call big data today often deals with very large unstructured data sets and is dependent on rapid analytics with answers provided in seconds. Examples of this are Facebook, Google or Amazon that analyse user statuses or search terms to trigger targeted advertising on user pages. But big data analytics are not restricted to these web giants. All sorts of organisations, and not necessarily huge ones, can benefit. From finance houses interested in analysing stock market behaviour to police departments that want to analyse and predict crime trends. So what are the key requirements of big data storage? At root, the key requirements of big data storage are that it can handle very large amounts of data and keep scaling to keep up with that growth, and that it can provide the IOPS necessary to deliver data to analytics tools. The largest big data practitioners, such as the Googles and Facebooks, etc., run what are known as hyperscale computing environments. These comprise vast amounts of commodity servers with direct attached storage. Redundancy is at the level of the entire compute and storage unit, and if a unit suffers an outage of any component, it's replaced wholesale, having already failed over to its mirror. Such environments run the likes of Hadoop, NoSQL, Cassandra, etc. as analytics engines, and typically have PCI flash storage alone in the server or in addition to disk to cut storage latency to a minimum. There's no shared storage in this type of environment. Hyperscale computing environments have been the preserve of the largest web-based operations to date, but it's highly probable that such compute and storage architectures will bleed down into more mainstream enterprises in the coming years. The appetite for building hyperscale systems will depend on the ability of an enterprise to take on a lot of in-house hardware building and maintenance, and whether they can justify such systems to handle limited tasks alongside more traditional enterprise environments that handle large amounts of applications on less specialized systems. But hyperscale is not the only way with big data. Many enterprises and even quite small businesses can take advantage of big data analytics. They'll need the ability to handle relatively large data sets and handle them quickly, but may not need quite the same response times as those organisations that use it to push adverts out to users. So the key type of big data storage system with the attributes required will often be scale-out or clustered NAS. This is file access shared storage that can scale out to meet capacity or increase compute requirements and uses parallel file systems distributed across many storage nodes. These can handle billions of files without the kind of performance degradation that happens with ordinary file systems as they grow. For some time, scale out or clustered NAS was a distinct product category with specialized suppliers such as Isilon and BlueArc. but a measure of the increasing importance of such systems is that both of these have been bought relatively recently by big storage vendors, EMC and Hitachi Data Systems, respectively. Meanwhile, clustered NAS has gone mainstream, and the big change here was with NetApp incorporating true clustering and petabyte and parallel file system capability into its Data ONTAP OS. The other storage format that's built for very large numbers of files is object storage. This tackles the same challenge as scale-out NAS, that traditional tree-like file systems become unwieldy when they contain large numbers of files. Object storage gets around this by giving each file a unique identifier and indexing the data in its location. It's more like the DNS way of doing things on the internet than the kind of file system we're used to. Anyway, object storage systems can scale to very high capacity and large numbers of files in the billions, so are another option for enterprises that want to take advantage of big data. Having said that, object storage is a less mature technology than scale-out NAS. So, to sum up, big data storage needs to be able to handle capacity and provide low latency for analytics work. You can choose to do it like the big boys in hyperscale environments, or adopt NAS or object storage in more traditional IT departments to do the job. Thanks very much. That's the end of the podcast.